Welcome to Through Imperialize with the power of the internet, which Jackson now has. I am your host, Braden Ledbetter.
I'm your co-host, and I can't.
Jackson, I think you're cutting out.
You know, I gotcha.
Just a goof. We like to goof here.
We like to have fun around here. All right.
Yeah, you know.
How are you?
Dude, I'm good. I've been itching to talk about this Kenobi trailer, but your internet did not want us to talk about it.
It's all right. It's done now. It's over. We're here.
It is done and over.
We're here. We can discuss it.
Yeah. If anybody is wondering why we just have been ghosting you all after this Kenobi trailer.
We physically
could not record that episode until Jackson had internet. So we're good. We're here. We're back. And we're here to talk about a lot. We had a lot of news to cover, a lot of good news to cover. So I'm excited to get into it all. But before we do that, what has your life been like for the past week? Star Wars, non-Star Wars, what's been up?
I'm a little over halfway of Midnight Horizon.
Nice.
It's been pretty good. I just bought the physical Tempest Runner today.
Saw that. Thick boy.
Thick book. It's really nice. I love the purple on it. That's pretty much been it Star Wars wise. I'm in a Batman kick right now.
Me too, dude. I'm watching the Batman animated series.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
On
yeah.
HBO.
I've just been hooked on it. Literally, I can't stop thinking about that movie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But other than that, it's just been that in the reading. So what about you? How are you?
Something's in the way. That's my Kurt Cobain impression. Thank you all.
That's my Robert Pattinson impression.
Yeah, sorry. I as well have been on a Batman kick. I had a weird experience seeing that movie because I was very, very tired and when you're like
lethargic.
You're almost not in the mood to watch a movie, but you're watching a movie anyway, and it's like I thought it would be like that. And at first I was like, all right, let's get through this movie. But then like I was hooked and I couldn't stop watching it. It was a happy surprise.
Yeah, we've had a strange week. Like a bunch of just stuff keeps happening to us.
Yeah.
And when we saw it last Tuesday, we were like, had gotten a couple hits. Alexis's car is in the shop and it was like, that happened. And then it was like, I think our internet went out that day and it was like, we're still going to go see it. And we went out to the theater and our chairs didn't recline. Our chairs didn't work. God. And we were like, let's just go see it.
Should have gotten somebody on that.
We were in a full theater and like it was whatever, but
you pay for that Dream Lounger seating though, you're gonna want the full reclining experience.
It was still worth it. I'm glad I enjoyed the whole thing, and
well, that's all that matters.
I'm still probably gonna go back and see it again at some point.
I need to watch. It's one of those movies where as soon as it's over, you're like, oh, I gotta see that again.
I wanted to go right back. I still haven't seen Spider-Man.
Yeah, you will. It comes out. Honestly, just wait for the Blu-ray release or the online release, because I think it comes out on digital like in the next couple of weeks.
Soon.
So just do that. Honestly, at this point, I don't even think it's playing in theaters anymore. So
it was playing when I saw Batman, but it was like one of the last theaters there. So it was like, you know.
Yeah, it's like to where it's down to like one showtime per day. Yeah.
So. But
nothing crazy going on with me either. Just been really crazy chilling with work, and you know,
that's fun.
It's fine. Trying to keep busy.
How's your reading?
Non-existent.
That's cool.
I've been thinking about it. I've been like, okay, now I got to pick up Fallen Star. I got to finish it. And then something comes up. Crap, I got to do this. Okay, after I do this, I'm going to pick up Fallen Star and finish it.
Honestly,
oh, crap, I got to do this.
We
and
should
I
just
this.
Do an episode where I just sit you down and teach you phase one. And we just like discuss everything that happens through my interpretation.
That would be so boring. The whole time it's just you talking, me going,
me rambling. And you'd be like, but what about this? Oh, I don't know about that one. But this thing
I can't read that comic. Yeah. We're going to do it. I promise by next month, I'm making a vow to everyone here and myself, Fallen Star will be done. And by the time phase two starts, before phase two starts, I will have all of the High Republic, at least books and novels, done.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'll be ready to talk about that. And I might just do like some recaps of like all the comics and stuff, because I just can't dive into comics like a lot of people can for some reason.
Yeah, that's fair. The two lines, actually, I think they're both done now. I think the only
adventures
thing,
and the regular
I
one.
Think the only one that's still going is the Markian Row solo right. run. But yeah, I think I know High Republic regular's done, but then I don't know about adventures. I want to say they are as well. So yeah, gotcha. It's been kind of weird. Not the last two. I've only read up to maybe 13 or 12, but they're syncing up with Midnight Horizon. It's the same gotcha. Instances, but it's through different people's perspectives.
Yeah, I've heard that like with Midnight Horizon, you highly benefit from reading in comics.
Yeah, just adventures. But like a lot of the main characters in Midnight Horizon are the main characters from High Republic Adventures. And I am getting to kind of the turning point, so I'm starting to see if that's going to be even more. But like straight up, there's a scene from the comics that's also in the book that's like cool. it's the exact same moment, and you just experience it through different perspectives.
That's cool.
So
kind of like how they dealt with like the Great Disaster.
Yeah, pretty much. It's but it's more of like an isolated, like it's literally like,
I get you. Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Like a one moment.
Yeah. One yeah, moment no, that like only involves tragedy. Four people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But yeah, so.
Well, we got some news to get into. I just want to warn everybody for this first one here. This is, we said we will not report on Star Wars Eclipse, but we were only reporting on this because it is something that is negative about Star Wars Eclipse. And going forward, we're only going to be reporting on this game if David Cage is not involved. So any kind of update.
Unless it's its downfall.
Unless it is its downfall, which we will report on because we like to see this game fail. Because
I wanted
while
to
David Cage is
bleed
involved,
at my so. Feet.
Yeah. So anyway, Jackson, what do we got up here first?
So while it was reported as a rumor, it's pretty much been confirmed that it is the actual case. But Star Wars Eclipse has had significant development issues and is now targeting a 2027 to 2028 release. It was supposed to release next year. There was a lot of enthusiasm towards it when the game's cinematic trailer came out, but it was then confirmed that the game would be made by Quantic Dream. And as Brayden just mentioned, David Cage, who is the company, and he runs the company of it and just kind of the aspect of it all, but have a lot of accusations of racism, sexism, and homophobia within its workplace. And because of that reputation that they have given themselves, they can't keep a staff. They have lost a considerable amount of their staff and is now having trouble trying to find new hires for it. And because of that, they have pushed their release to the end of the 2020s.
Which is so weird to say, the end of the 2020s.
I know.
2027, 2028. That's not even a real year.
And, jeez. You know, you think about it. Yeah, right. Think about it, too, is like the trailer really was just small cinematics that you saw that I bet you they don't have an inch of gameplay ready.
No, I think they probably just had some VFX artists throw something together that was the vibe of the game, and that's about
it. And I bet you it will crash and burn. I bet you they won't be able
to. I kind of hope it does if he's still
hiring.
Involved.
Yeah, I agree.
Because no one's going to buy it.
Now,
no one's going to buy it while he's involved.
Do you think that Lucasfilm will take the rights and the story sense of it and give it to a different company, or just kind of let it die and
just let it die
piss off and do something
just
else
let
with
it die.
That's kind of what I agree
at this point. Like if you're 5 years behind schedule now,
yeah literally,
then is it really worth having to pay people 5 years worth of salaries for this game?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So I honestly, sorry everybody who's excited for Star Wars Eclipse,
but
let it die.
But play Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Do that
instead.
Keeping in the video game world, we got some Star Wars The Skywalker, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga news, and we got some DLC packs confirmed. So it seems like the 7 DLC packs are planned for the game, including characters centered around the Mandalorian, Rogue One, Solo, Bad Batch, as well as classic characters and stormtroopers, all of which will be available for purchase when the Skywalker Saga's release date of April 5th and May 4th, Star Wars Day. These DLC packs contain 39 characters between them, in addition to the 300 characters apparently available in the main game, which is crazy. And while they're not probably essential to the main experience of the game, obviously, we've got a lot of people who are going to want to collect them all, like little Pokemans. And I think that's cool and all. I'm not really big into DLC. I think it would only be important if there are these characters who have like special abilities that you will like need to unlock. Kind of like, you know how in like the old Lego Star Wars games, you have to like wait to unlock a character so you can like, because they have the ability to access a room which is like a mini kit or something. I hope that they have an aspect like that, to where like you need this DLC to get like tech from Bad Batch in order to get into this area so you can like get 100%.
I think the characters will have abilities that maybe you won't be able to get naturally, but I think the game itself, like there will be someone who can do the thing that you're needing it for. But like, you know, like maybe tech can open a locked door, you know, hacking it or some sense of it. But like, I bet you also there's a droid who can do that. A droid character who can do that and you can play as.
Yeah.
I think this will mainly be kind of a cosmetics. It's more of like, if you want to play as Mando, like here's your chance to play as Mando.
But if that's the case, like, is it worth buying these characters then? I'm talking about personally for me, I would want it to be a character that can do something special in the game that no one else can do.
And maybe they have some kind of ability, like I would think in the sense, if they're going to have something new, it's going to be like an attack. It's going to be some style of an attack that maybe other characters don't have.
Kind of an OP thing.
Not even that, but like maybe Mando's got his spear and there's like a cool spin move he does with it. You know, I don't think it's more of like you need these DLCs, because then that becomes like a pay to win. And I think a lot of people wouldn't fall with that. It's more of a grand scheme. It's a cosmetics thing, but like, it's just to have more characters with it.
I guess I'm just speaking personally. Like,
yeah,
I would only want to spend money on DLC if it like progressed me in the game more or something.
You say that, but I bought the deluxe edition. I pre-ordered the deluxe edition just so I can have all the DLC.
It just comes with all of it already.
I just want all of it.
Isn't it only like, I mean, I don't see the,
it's only like if you're $70, I think, for the full deluxe.
It's like a $10 difference for the deluxe edition.
It's not bad at all. Are we playing that? Are we getting down? Are we gonna?
I think we need to.
I think we should record ourselves.
I'll get my PS4 good to go, and then
I don't know if it's cross-play. But
I don't know either.
We'll figure it out. We got a month ish.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway,
we'll do stuff with it for sure. But what is next here?
It's time. Do you see the Kenobi trailer Twitter finally celebrated? Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there's a Twitter account called Is the Kenobi Trailer Out? And every single day since like the middle of last year, it's just been no, not yet. And finally it was like, oh my god, yes.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about these Entertainment Weekly images that they released.
Sure.
These were kind of the first little set, and then they released the trailer, and we'll talk about the trailer itself. But the images we got were, the main one was Obi-Wan with his lightsaber ready, and it's kind of like the cover photo, and it's a cool little promo shot. And then we get Obi-Wan with, what is that, an EOP?
An EOP from on Tatooine.
Oh, is that the snoot animal thing? I didn't know what that was called. You get a shot of Obi-Wan looking around a corner. Get some Moses Ingram shots of her as an inquisitor.
I just sent you a link real quick so you can take a look at the photos while we're talking about him too.
Yeah, that'll help. Let me look at these. Yeah, you're talking about this Dayu planet. You think this is the city that we're seeing?
Yeah, this was confirmed in the Entertainment Weekly article that this little like Coruscant looking city is called Dayu.
Okay.
Which looks, you know, pretty dope.
I thought it was going to be Ord Mantell for a minute. I thought that was where he was going to end up. But yeah, so we're getting a new cool little city. The shot of Moses Ingram is on like a rooftop with a neon sign. There's some shots of her in, it looks like a Tatooine marketplace.
Yeah, I think that's during the scene we see in the trailer, which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, and
but her, the scene with her and like that one hanging guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which I have a theory about.
But there's also there's a picture of Reva the Inquisitor and Uncle Owen, who are face to face. And I think that'll really play into the story stuff of the Inquisitors suspect the what are their last names? Owen and Beru, Lars.
Yep.
Wow, we're really bad on our. Can you tell we're in a Batman kick?
Can you tell that we haven't recorded in 2 weeks?
But you know, think that the Lars know where Obi-Wan is. I don't think they suspect Luke at all. And then we've got a picture of Obi-Wan like in a cave, which was my favorite picture of all that released.
I think that this is during a scene in which Obi-Wan's talking to Qui-Gon's Force Ghost.
I agree. I think a lot of their interactions will be kind of in this like
kind of private setting.
I don't know if we're gonna see Obi-Wan's hut yet. I think
I don't know if he's gonna have a hut yet.
I think it's gonna end where he gets
living out of this cave,
and he's using it as kind of like a natural way, a way to connect to the Force better. And I think that's why, because I imagine this is gonna pick up on some of the stuff that Yoda teaches him at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and it's
speaking
him,
of. Do you think we're getting Yoda?
Maybe in a flashback.
Flashback, no Force Ghost?
I like to think that...
Wait, no, he wouldn't be a Force Ghost. He's alive. Force Ghost,
but like...
Dummy.
Well, think of it in the sense of like in Rebels when they visit the Jedi Temple and Yoda kind of speaks to him.
It would be cool to see Yoda speak to him like through the Force.
Through the Force, yeah. It's like maybe he's trying to contact Qui-Gon and instead like he calls out to Yoda and Yoda helps him. And
Yoda, what are you doing here? I called for Qui-Gon.
He's like, oh, sorry, bro. Wrong number. Let me try this again. But yeah, so those are the images. You can check those out online. They're everywhere. They're pretty cool. I like the grainy sense this one has. A lot of the shots in the trailer itself, it's kind of got this filmic, you know, 1970s sense to it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did shoot this on film. They probably didn't because of how expensive it is to shoot on film, especially for TV.
Like worked it around. You know, that was the thing with like Batman was that they did tricks to it to make it look like it had a film sense, but
you can simply add like film grain and some distortion over an image to make it look like it was shot on film. So I'm sure they did something like that just to make it make you feel like you're watching OG Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. And I think this will be the one that they really play with that a lot.
I hope so. That'd be great.
But let's talk about this trailer. Let's talk about kind of the overall aspects of it. What are your overall thoughts?
Overall, I think this gave me everything I wanted, and I don't want to see any more.
Yeah.
We didn't see Vader. Good. Didn't want to see Vader. Didn't want to see anything like that. We got some snippets of some new characters. We saw a little bit of familiar faces. We saw some familiar places, some new places, and it wrapped it up nice. And that's all we need. I don't think we need any more details or any more, you know, if we get another full trailer, fine. But they've already shown Vader, but I don't want to see any footage of
it. Shown Vader, you know, it's
they we'll talk about this in a second, but they released like a photo.
Yeah. And even
it's
then,
a pretty basic photo too.
Like, it's Darth Vader. What did you,
but overall, I think the tone is very close to what I was expecting the show to be, like the trailer. And I think, you know, Ewan's back. And you can tell that he has not forgotten
how
to play Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, what did you think overall?
I really liked seeing kind of the wear on Obi-Wan in this. The shot of him holding the binoculars I really liked because it just...
you can't see through the binoculars.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have another end. So it's just like, what?
But I thought it was cool. I really like seeing the Inquisitors. I have weird thoughts about how their costume design is. All right, hold on, but let's get it out of the way. What are your thoughts on the Grand Inquisitor thing?
Ooh, no, I'm just kidding. I don't care.
I don't really care.
It's hard to say. I think it's going to be hard to suspend my disbelief that that is the same character that we know from Rebels.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to be like, oh, this is the same guy, you know? But at the end of the day, it's not worth like bullying Lucasfilm over. Like, I don't really care that much. Like,
I think it'll be better once we see more of it.
I hope so. I mean, at this point, I've gone through all the stages of grief with him.
Yeah. I think I'm going to read the Vader comics before it comes out and kind of understand him more and see if this is maybe a point in his life that I can logically explain why he looks like that.
He just said too much blue milk.
I know. The biggest thing for me is his eyes. I don't like that he doesn't have yellow eyes, and I'm the same.
Yeah, with the Sith eyes.
I'm the same with Fifth Brother, is that they made his eyes black in this when his eyes are like white. They're like an off white.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think they look cool. I appreciate some sense of it. I really, really, really hope we get lightsaber helicopters in this. We see it a little bit.
But is he gonna fly off with it?
I know.
I hope so. I really hope they got to.
Yeah. Overall, this is everything we kind of expected coming into it and seeing that it's the Inquisitors hunting down Obi-Wan.
I'm glad they nipped the Inquisitor thing in the bud very early.
Yeah.
So it's not something that we're still guessing on, like, who's going to be Inquisitors in it? Like, they're just like, yes, we're getting Inquisitors. I'm wondering, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I'm wondering, so we knew that Kumail Nanjiani is going to be in it. I think he's voicing that one funky droid that we see in the trailer.
I have to go back, but
he's like that. He almost looks like a white K2SO.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
But they made a point to show him in like a good, like 5 second shot. So I was like, this droid character has got to be something. I think that that's who that is.
Okay.
It's Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, I expected him to play a droid.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it.
Is this all just the trailer? I'm trying to find the trailer to pull it up, but this ended up being a lot more difficult about it.
You can't just search Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer these days.
I thought it was going to be like in the tab that I had of the pictures, but I saw some people talking about that the dude that Grand Inquisitor is talking to, the where is he, and he starts spinning it. They think it might be Tem. His back profile kind of matches him.
So you think that's going to be like Cody or Rex?
I think it's going to be Rex. I have a feeling if we see Cody, he's still going to be, well, how long do you think the clones will still be serving the Empire?
We still haven't really gotten an answer to that question of like when the exact like switchover happened.
And I would argue to say that 10 years has been more than enough. So if we see Cody, he won't be working for the Empire. But I have a theory that Rex and Cody are going to be together and Cody will die and it'll lead Rex off to the planet where he finds Gregor and has Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
I like to think that Cody was a part of that as well. And something happens. And I wonder if we will see that in this show, is that maybe Rex and we see Rex and Cody and in their mishaps and adventures with Obi-Wan, it gets Cody killed.
Be interesting.
Yeah. Which I think would be cool. I think that if anything, it'll be Rex and they'll use it as kind of he's one of the clones who, you know, isn't fully chipped and, you know, is kind of probably been a rogue problem for a while. You know, you must know where this Jedi is. You're working, you know, doing your own thing, fighting the Empire.
Right.
So we'll see. Yeah. I lean towards it that it probably is Tem, but I don't know exactly who it could be. That he is playing. I'm trying to think the rest. You know what I really liked in the trailer? They didn't show Obi-Wan's lightsaber.
Yes. And we do see him not with a lightsaber, but with a blaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really cool to see.
I thought that was cool too.
So uncivilized.
I have a feeling he's going to be against activating it. I think we're going to see Obi-Wan in a sense of, you know, that first line in the trailer, the fight is over, we lost. I think he's talking to Qui-Gon in that.
I was going to say, who do you think he's talking to? I love that they opened the trailer with that line.
I think it's either Qui-Gon or it's Owen. It's Uncle Owen.
I think it'd be great if it was Qui-Gon.
I agree. I think that's the side advert, is that they're trying to make us not think
Like, Obi-Wan would be so, like, lost on what to do. I think he's like, it would be awesome if he was, like, confiding in Qui-Gon's Force Ghost. And
I think that's what it's going I think it's going to be like Ratatouille when he is being tormented by Chef Gusteau, like, as the Force Ghost, and Chef Gusteau kind of leads him towards the right thing. I think is that the first half to third of this, Obi-Wan's going to be not wanting to act. He's not going to want his lightsaber. He's probably trying to cut himself off to the Force, but he tries to reconnect with his old master, and Qui-Gon is going to help him kind of like re-find his purpose in being a Jedi while also being in exile and over and watching over Luke.
Yeah. This show is the perfect opportunity, and you don't need a whole episode dedicated to Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan talk. You need 5 minutes in an episode of them kind of catching up. This is the perfect opportunity to do that. And I will actually say that they're making a mistake if they don't shoe in Qui-Gon somewhere in here.
Let's talk about do you see the reports coming out about how they had to go through rewrites and that they took out Darth Maul?
Oh, we got that. We got that later on.
Is that in this? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that then, because I have specific thoughts about that, but,
you'll come to learn we'll from the back burner until we get to the end of this episode, because that's our last story. So we have that first line, the fight is done, we lost. Then we see young Luke, and then we hear this VO line, which I'm not really sure who he could be talking to, but the line is "stay hidden." Do you think he's talking to Luke, or who is he talking to saying to stay hidden?
I could see like Uncle Owen, is that maybe the Inquisitor comes to Tatooine and Owen ends up telling them. Okay, so I expect the Lars to be against Obi-Wan, like, stay away from us, like, you brought this kid to us. Yeah. And
that's the only thing that makes sense.
I think that what will happen is the Inquisitors will come and Owen will eventually kind of convince her that there's no one here. You don't need to do anything. You know, leave us alone. And then he'll go to Obi-Wan and be like, hey, like, they're looking for you. Like, they came and pulled up and you got to do something about it. And I think that's what the stay hidden is for, is that Obi-Wan's kind of giving him like, I'll handle it. Like you do your own thing. But I expect the Lars to, if anything, still be like, leave us alone, you know, maybe going to Obi-Wan. And if they ask for help, it's going to be like a one-time thing. I don't think the Lars want anything to do with Kenobi. And I expect that the whole show.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like mostly an Uncle Owen thing.
Yeah.
And Aunt Beru's kind of like, no, we should really listen to him. Like
I believe that.
Yeah, I think that might be the dynamic there. What was your reaction to Duel of Fates?
I got full body chills. And I really
hope that's something that John Williams wrote and conducted for the trailer.
Yeah,
like I really hope it wasn't just like they pulled the stems from Phantom Menace. Like, I really hope that they re-recorded that for the trailer.
Yeah, I think it's an important decision why they chose that song, and we'll talk about it in our next piece, in our later piece.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting.
You're just gonna want to hold on because there's a new development from today.
I saw that.
Anyway, yeah, we're jumping ahead here.
There's a lot happening. Yeah,
a couple other things. So we see Obi-Wan on this like Tatooine train transport thing among all the goons. I think, you know, Obi-Wan's laying low, and Just thinking like, oh, he's just probably on his way to the bar. Just like,
I think he's going to Anchorhead.
Some time.
I think we'll find, Anchorhead. I think we'll finally see Anchorhead in live action. Or even if it was an animation, but I think we'll see Anchorhead. See Tashi Station.
Which we already saw Tashi Station in Book of Boba Fett,
but like,
sorry, hold on. I'm doing things over here and not thinking. As if a couple notes of things that I wanted to make sure we touch on. So another one of the early shots in this trailer is there's like this Inquisitor ship going over this body of water, and it kind of like tilts up and we see that Inquisitor building. Is that Nur from Fallen Order, do you think?
Yes.
I think so too.
Because that is their like base of operations. That's like a big player in the comics too. That's where all like,
okay, cool.
That's where Vader trains them all. So it's all but
confirmed that that's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, straight up.
I pretty much like I have no reason to doubt that that's Nur, but who knows? They seem to, you know, they seem to kind of go on their own path with these shows. So who knows?
I have a feeling that's either going to be Endgame or that's midpoint. Either I think Obi-Wan's going to fight Vader on Nur, but it's either going to be the end of the show or it'll be like the first time he sees Vader will be on this place. He like runs into him and he's just like, oh, he's like,
it's another, hey. It's going to be another Jedi Fallen Order moment where it's like,
you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's kind of talk about Reva, because she seems to be like she's described as like this force sensitive Inquisitor. She's kind of hunting for Jedi. And there's this shot in the trailer, which I want to break this down really quick. There's a shot in the trailer of it looks like Tatooine, but like Mos Eisley or something like that. And it looks like some dude is being hung. And I looked at the shoes, and then I went back to that article from like, I think it was like February of last year, where we got that first sneak peek of Ewan as Obi-Wan, like the paparazzi photo. And it's the same shoes. So I'm wondering if she's like, you know, threatening Obi-Wan and kind of like holding him up in the air with the Force or something, or if it's like this like almost public execution or something and he somehow gets away. But if you look closely at those shoes in the trailer,
that's
definitely the same shoes that Ewan is wearing as Obi-Wan in those paparazzi photos.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm wondering like if, you know, that's why kind of Uncle Owen is squared up to Reva in that one shot too.
Yeah, as he's like, you're just torturing people, leave us alone.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's probably the case, actually. Maybe. Talking about Inquisitors, okay, there's the droid shot. I finally pulled up the trailer. But we have, so Reva's a new one, and the one with the little tiny tendrils is a new one. We don't know who those are. So I'm glad to know that Obi-Wan's going to be killing some Inquisitors in this.
Yeah. This is like my dream show. This is so cool.
It'll be really cool. Yeah, I think it'll be really cool. I think the lightsaber fights in this are going to be really awesome.
I don't think we're getting a lightsaber fight until the finale. I guarantee he's not going to pull out a saber until the finale. If he does, it's going to be like another, he's in Mos Eisley and like someone's messing with him and he just pulls out the saber, chops their arm off.
I think he is going to start out like that, but I think all of his interactions with Vader he'll have it. And I think we'll get one with him and an Inquisitor. He'll fight one with a lightsaber.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I want that. I think it'll be cool. I think they're going to hold off until at least later in this. I would be more than happy to be wrong about this, but I have a hunch that we're not going to see a lightsaber wielding Kenobi until at least the latter half of the season.
Wild. Let's talk about the last shot of the trailer. What do you think he's looking at?
Man, there could be a thousand things. I really don't know.
I think it's Shmi's grave.
I literally just think that could be cool. But I think it could literally just be one of the editors just found a cool shot that was a long shot of Ewan as Obi-Wan doing the cool intense look.
Yeah.
And they threw it and they're like, all right, here's a cool shot. We can put the end, you know. I wonder if it is that deep or if like they're showing it's that specific shot for a reason. I don't really know.
Yeah. But, I don't know for sure. I like to think that this whole time Obi-Wan's going to have a lot of guilt about what happened on Mustafar, and he's just going to be kind of like guilt torturing himself over it by like maybe paying his respects to Shmi as often as he can. And, you know,
like, but he's sorry what I did to your
yeah,
son.
Yeah, literally like, hey, hey. Well, I think
Obi-Wan kind of has to be like this tortured, guilt ridden, like, yeah. What the fuck did I do? You know?
Yeah.
Because like, this kind of has to be his, he's finally realizing that like there are things in the galaxy that he is needed for, and he can't just spend his days like,
and that's
being a hermit.
That's kind of been his whole thing with like, especially in Certain Point of View, there's an Obi-Wan chapter and just like the different instances that Obi-Wan blames himself a lot for from Qui-Gon's death, like, and on. He kind of naturally blamed himself for it all, thinking that it was his responsibility over it. And I think that it's going to manifest into this, and that's going to be part of the things Qui-Gon, I think, will help him through, is like, this isn't all your fault. Like, you need to understand that there are things out of your control that you can still adapt and overcome with. And that is the Jedi way, not tormenting yourself, thinking that you could have done something different.
And that's also why I'm hoping there's already this established relationship with Qui-Gon's Force Ghost.
You think he'll already be chilling with Qui-Gon by the time we see him
kind
in the
of
show?
Leaving the planet and stuff? Because I think he's, I think so. I think that he will have worked through his trauma enough to do what he needs to do. You know, I think 10 years is a long time in solitude. I think that he's probably been working through a lot of stuff with Qui-Gon in those 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope so. But, kind of another thing on Kenobi here. We got a official first look at Darth Vader in a new series. It's a very basic yeah. photo. It's just literally Vader.
It's a cool pic.
Yeah, Vader surrounded by smoke in Vader's castle, I think.
Yeah, it's the back to chamber from Rogue One.
It's essentially the Rogue One shot. You know, the day after the trailer released, we saw some set pictures from EW, and they had more to share, which was this photo, and they had a little bit of an interview snippet from Hayden Christensen and the writer of the series, Joby Harold. When asked if we will see Vader without the mask, Hayden had this to say. He says, "I wish I could tell you," he says with a coy smile on his face, "but he's sworn to secrecy, and we're going to see a very powerful Vader." And this is making me do one of the little mischievous finger twitchies. And then Joby Harold, the writer, goes on to say, "His shadow is cast across so much of what we do," series writer teases, "and the degree of his proximity to that show is something that we'll discover. But he is very much part of the show emotionally for Obi-Wan, and possibly beyond that as well." Which leads me to believe we got to get some flashbacks. We're getting flashbacks.
Definitely agree. I think Hayden's quote of a very powerful Vader is going to be a play on the workaround of when I last saw you, I was a novice and now I am the master. I think we're going to see Vader not fully harnessing how much power he can contain. And so I haven't read them in a continuous sense, but I have an idea of kind of the things that happen in between. And during this time frame, Vader is very much just like Empire servant. Like, he's just kind of the shell that there isn't a lot in his life that really kind of dwells in the power that he needs. And I think this show, it's going to be Vader's first kind of advantage and experience harnessing, like, I think Vader seeing Obi-Wan is going to unlock this, like, this true anger that he's kind
and
of
rage.
Had. Yeah. And it's really going to open this whole new door for Vader and, like, his power in that sense. And I think the first time we see Vader and Obi-Wan together, Obi-Wan's totally going to, like, underestimate it. He is going to underestimate his power this time.
Because I think the way that Anakin slash Vader sees Obi-Wan is like, you tried to kill me and left me for dead.
And you took everything away from me.
Yeah. And I need revenge because you're living peacefully and you left me for dead.
And I think
you failed me.
Yeah. I think it's going to become the plot will be, you know, the Inquisitors are hunting Jedi and they're going to be like, oh, we found this guy. And Vader's going to be like, I want it then. He's going to be like, let me handle it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what we'll see, and it's going to be strong in the sense that it's dangerous, but strong in the sense that it's reckless. I think Vader's going to end up taking, like, I bet you they'll be on some ship and Vader takes it down because he's so angry that he just decides to crush the ship.
Dude, I want to see Vader freaking Thanos a moon.
There is a part in Star Wars Ronin where the Ronin is like, he's not been taken by the Jedi, but they're kind of like help us out and like, you know, we'll give you everything that you need. And he decides against it. And instead of like fighting his way out or, you know, trying to sneak out, he just decides to take the ship down by just like force destroying it. Like he just starts like just, you know, pulling things together. And like, I expect Vader to do the same thing of just being like, you know what? Screw it. And just start like, this wall's coming down. And I think I can feel the main reactor core and just crush that in my hand. And
And all I have to say is that you don't bring Hayden Christensen back to not show his face. That's all I'm saying.
You're right. Do you think we'll get a cool like Rebels like broken Vader helmet with Anakin inside and like the yellow eyes?
Cool.
I think that would be cool.
I don't know if this is the time for that because we already got that. Like it's such an iconic shot from Rebels.
Maybe
it'd be a fun homage to it though.
Maybe Obi-Wan doesn't know that Vader is Anakin. Maybe he like doesn't like maybe Vader's never said so he doesn't register who it is.
Yeah, I'd never even thought about that. Like, what if he just doesn't know and maybe, he has to like, he ends up feeling it in the force like because this, it's in the in his presence.
Like they fight and maybe Obi-Wan gets a hit on him and he realizes it's Anakin. He's just like,
because from what he,
oh no,
because like from what he knows, he left Anakin to die on Mustafar. He doesn't know that the Emperor came and got him. And
yeah, he probably thinks it's some other Inquisitor and he's just
I don't remember. In Revenge of the Sith, does Obi-Wan end up knowing that they're calling him Darth Vader?
I think the only thing he's seen by that point is the hologram when he watches Anakin bow to Palpatine. I think he sees the, you should be known as Darth Vader. I think he witnesses that. So I think if he does know the name, like, it's going to be mentioned to him later. I don't think he's going to understand that Vader is also the big scary metallic like robot dude.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see the, like how he comes to realize this
and how he accepts it with the things that he's already kind of told himself, 10 years of guilt and grief. And then all of a sudden it's all kind of not been a lie, but it's all not necessarily been fully true.
Man, the show.
It's going to be fun.
Dude. What do we got next?
So we talked about Vader. Yeah. Oh, so the Lucasfilm creative executive denies the Hollywood Reporter's Obi-Wan Kenobi story that there was a different main antagonist. A news story from the Hollywood Reporter may offer a few additional details on that transition. According to the several THR sources, the original six scripts were going to include Darth Maul as the main antagonist, with Ray Park returning to play the role from the Phantom Menace and Solo's Star Wars story. Lucasfilm creative executive Pablo Hidalgo, which I love him, I follow him on Twitter.
I love Pablo, yeah.
Took it to his private Twitter account to colorfully and vehemently deny the report. He did not mince the words in labeling the story as false, quoted tweeting a report on the story with the following, a brown sun rises, bullshit has been spilled. I don't believe a damn word anything they say. I think Darth Maul's in this show.
You think he is in the show?
I think if anything, he's going to have one appearance, one episode. It may have nothing to do with the plot. I think he's going to run into Maul at some point.
Oh, so they can start the Crimson Dawn spinoff show?
Yeah, literally. Well, so my evidence is A, using Duel of the Fates in the trailer. I just think that means something because that's always been Darth Maul's song.
So you think bullshit has been spilled from Pablo Hidalgo?
Not necessarily. I think that he's right in the sense that maybe Maul isn't the main villain of this show, but I think that Maul is in this show. Remember when Ray Park posted that he was, had makeup and it was never really confirmed if it was an old pick or not.
He posted the trailer. He posted the trailer like, ooh, cool, look at this,
I think when he's on this city planet, he's going to run into Maul and it's going to end in a situation that Maul doesn't know if Kenobi survives or not. And thus will put him on his path in Rebels to essentially find holocrons to answer the question if he's alive or not. Okay, he's alive. Where is he? Tatooine? He's like, what is Tatooine? Oh, I've been here. It's like he's going to run into him in this out of the blue moment that it's not going to connect Obi-Wan and what he's been doing in any other else. And if it's a big moment, cool. If it's a little moment, cool. I think it's going to end where Maul's going to be left with like, well, did he survive? Like, did he, is he cool? I think there's going to be something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I personally don't think he'll be showing up, but I'm not going to be mad if he does. I think it'd be really cool. I'm going to skip to this. We'll circle back to this next news story, but I'm going to skip to this last one because it's Kenobi related. But for anyone listening who does not want to be spoiled, it's a very minor spoiler, but if you do not want to be spoiled, just skip ahead like 3 or 4 minutes and then we'll get to this last news story here. But for this possible minor spoiler alert, a longtime Star Wars location will finally be seen in the upcoming series. A Star Wars location first mentioned in the original film way back in 1977 will finally be seen on screen for the first time in the upcoming series. Quote, look, I can take you as far as Anchorhead. You can get a transport there to Mos Eisley or wherever you're going. That's obviously Luke Skywalker. That's right. We are finally going to visit Anchorhead in Star Wars after hearing about it 45 years ago, and it was actually faintly seen from a distance in the first teaser for Obi-Wan Kenobi. And obviously we know Tashi Station is technically on the outskirts of Anchorhead, and we saw that in Book of Boba Fett, but Kenobi will take us into the heart of Anchorhead and its transportation hub, which is why I wasn't really saying anything when you're like, right. I think we might see Anchorhead. We're seeing Anchorhead. So I think... that's super cool.
Yeah.
Enriches the lore. Shows us something we haven't been seeing before. What else can you ask for?
Yeah.
And I think
if you're going to take us to Tatooine, at least give us something new on Tatooine.
Yeah. Which is fine. Anchorhead. Yeah. Fine.
That's cool.
Yes. Are you of, this is kind of unrelated, but are you of the group that thinks that we're just getting too much Tatooine and all the Star Wars content?
A tiny bit.
A little bit.
I don't hate it. I like that they are giving us new things with Tatooine. Like in Book of Boba Fett, I started it where I was like, all right, like a Book of Boba Fett makes sense to have a lot of Tatooine. And same with this show. But I think that they are achieving it without making it too much. It's Mos Eisley every 5 minutes. It's more of, no, like this is it. Like, I'll tell you this, Mos Espa had no idea it was that big. And I like seeing Tatooine as like the community and like, it's still a planet of like people and traitors and smugglers and crime and scum and villainy. And it's also this desolate monster wasteland that like, it's a dangerous place here. And I think that the new shows have been portraying that really well. I would also still like to see other planets. I would love to see Lothal in live action. I want to see this production style on different
places. I'm talking Ahsoka show. Mm-hmm. We better get some Lothal in there. But I think what these shows have been doing with Tatooine and like allowing us to see Tatooine, but also giving us tidbits of Tatooine that we didn't know before. Like how, I'm not sure. I certainly didn't know that Tatooine was like filled with water and green at one point. There was the Dune Sea at one point was just a sea. And all that kind of fun stuff. So as long as they keep enriching the lore and giving us new information about Tatooine and not just showing us places we've already seen, fine. Give me Tatooine every day. So
off weird question to kind of round this with: if we get flashbacks in Clone War or in Kenobi, where do you think we will see?
I want some Clone Wars banter. I want to see them in that Clone Wars armor.
Oh, for sure. Too. I think we'll be getting that. My question is though, what?
Yeah.
What planets?
Yeah. I think it would be cool to see. What planets have we? Have we either not seen live action or have not seen live action since like 2005?
Well, there's a lot of planets we haven't seen in live action.
I'm talking like Clone Wars specific.
Looking up planets in Clone Wars.
Ooh, Christophsis.
I was thinking Christophsis.
Would be fun.
I think we'll get a new Coruscant. I think we'll see Coruscant again.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's see. It's a lot of Anaxes. Which one was Anaxes? Rocky planet. I'm trying to think of like what happened with what on each planet and like what, where are they in the beginning of season 7 with Clone Wars?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what the planet's called.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that bridge.
Yeah.
Where that planet was.
I wonder if we'll get some more of that or something, you know, something like that. Stuff that you get Dathomir. That'd be kind of cool if we got some Dathomir stuff.
I don't want them to just take a scene from Clone Wars and shoot it live action. I want like a new interaction.
I don't think so for sure. And definitely there's a lot of places that they can do it. I'm more kind of saying of what if it's like the flashback is them on a planet during it's some scene that we haven't seen in Clone Wars, but we can kind of go to Clone Wars and be like, oh, like this is when this scene takes place.
Gotcha.
While they're on this battle and during these episodes and I think we'll see that unfinished bit of them talking of Anakin and Obi-Wan talking about Ahsoka leaving. Mm-hmm. I think we'll definitely see that in this show.
Yeah. It'd be also cool to see, I really want to see a live action Hayden Christensen talking about Ahsoka.
It'll be really cool seeing these actors talk about like other things that we've learned about. I'm ready to hear them speak Ahsoka.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be disappointed. I'm just kidding. I don't care. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. Let's kind of wrap up the Kenobi talk because we have one last non-Kenobi related news story here. So go ahead.
Damon Lindelof is reportedly developing a Star Wars movie. The reputable film reporter Jeff Snyder is reporting that Damon Lindelof, the mind behind HBO's Watchmen miniseries and The Leftovers, is working on a Star Wars movie. He posted the news on Twitter, linking to his story on The Ankler, which is behind a paywall. But according to Snyder, Lindelof would be writing the project through can't say if there will be a co-writer or a director attached. While there are not many details, Lindelof's name certainly came out of the left field, especially for a movie project. Do you think he's joining something or do you think it's something new?
High Republic.
Do you think it's what was it? Rodeo, whatever.
Oh, it could be that.
I think it might be Rogue Squadron.
You think they're bringing someone new in for Rogue Squadron? I think
maybe they're bringing him in to help out with Rogue Squadron.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't officially said that Patty Jenkins has left, but I wonder if they're like, because I think Patty Jenkins was also like producing it too.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're like, you know what? Let's bring in this producer. Let's kind of rework the story a little bit and let's have Rogue Squadron out by like 2027.
Right. and this is unofficial news. So I almost wonder if they'll bring in more people and then announce it as like Rogue Squadron gets like a new team of writers, but it's just people they're adding on.
I think they're also putting a lot of projects together so they can announce a bunch at Star Wars Celebration in May.
I agree.
Because we're in this stage of like, they're going to have all these panels of all these different announcements. There's going to be like probably a panel for like the movies and they're going to announce probably like four or five movies or a series of movies that are coming out in the next like 5 years. And they're probably going to do a cool like TV panel where they're going to show, you know, what new series or like release dates for series that we know are coming out, like Lando and that kind of thing. So, I think we're going to get a lot more information on all this kind of stuff at Star Wars Celebration for sure.
Speaking of Celebration, did you see the new poster that came out for it?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's kind of tan, but it's got like silhouettes of everybody in it.
Oh, you know what? I did see that.
That's the new Celebration. Those tickets are going on sale soon.
I think they're already on sale.
Are they on sale? Oh, yeah.
I know the VIP, like a lot of like the expensive VIP tickets have already been sold. Like they're already all sold out.
Oh, my goodness. A multi-day ticket for one person on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday of Star Wars Celebration is
$900. $900. I think those are also sold out. The Jedi Master ones are sold out, I believe.
Okay, but we can do... Do you want to go to Celebration?
I kind of want to.
It's in Anaheim, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could hit up JJ and see if he'll let us crash on his couch, and then we just drive to Anaheim, because Anaheim's only a couple hours.
Dude, I'll road trip to Anaheim with you. Let's talk about it.
We'll have like a proper sit down. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because that's some extensive planning on my end.
It is, especially 2 months away.
Yeah, right. Might get in trouble with work on that one.
Making terrible life decisions right now. Well, cool. I think that's about all we got for this week. A lot to catch up on. A lot of Kenobi talk, I know, but we got all of our thoughts out pretty much for this series. So they're going to probably getting some, probably one more trailer and some more details probably in the near future. But until we see you next week, you can always find us on the Instagrams at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and of course YouTube Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. We don't really post much there anymore, but we're hoping to in the near future. Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at QuacksonScalene, QUACKSON, and then scaling like the triangle. And then you can follow my photography Instagram, which is at Daleen_photography. It's DALEEN_photography. Braden, what about you?
And as always, you can find me on the Instagrams at Braden Ledbetter, and of course on the Twits at Braidathlon. And you can always see what I'm doing and see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing over at Letterboxd at B Ledbetter, and see what I'm doing in the video world over at Vat19 on YouTube. And please don't be shy. Leave that review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Subscribe. It really helps us out and lets us know that you appreciate what we do. And we will definitely be back hopefully next week, that now that Jackson has internet and I'm going to be re-fallen star, I hope. And we'll see a Star Wars Celebration, everybody.
Yeah, right. We're just going to pull up.
Yeah. But we'll figure out more details on that if that does come to fruition. But until then, may the Force be with you.